Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Somewhere wired in our DNA is a great respect for those who have fallen, those who have died. Our cemeteries are monuments to that respect. And it doesn't matter what culture you're from, there is that wired into our DNA. We notice it whenever someone disrespects a gravesite or we hear about stones being desecrated. It just wells up within us. It's wrong. We have to have the respect for those who have gone before us. I went to a place in Virginia where my uncle was buried. My uncle loved his little house. He had a little retirement home that he adored and he kept so perfectly. And before he died, he asked that he would be buried on that property. And his wife wanted to respect his wishes, so she arranged for the burial. Years later, I went to that house because I wanted to pay my respects to my uncle. And I knocked on the door, and the renter of the home, I said to her, "My uncle's buried out there on your property. Do you know where?" Well, she looked at me horrified. I thought, well, how do you not know that there's somebody buried on your property? So I went to the back. She gave me permission to go in the back and look. And I understood why she was so puzzled, because I tripped over the gravestone. It was so overgrown and so filthy that you couldn't tell that somebody was buried there. And all I could think of is my dear uncle, who loved that place and kept it so immaculate, was probably perpetually spinning in his grave. And I imagine that when the children went out to play in the back, that they probably tripped over that stone, not knowing that someone rested underneath. And I can't explain the feeling I had. It was a feeling of loss and of grief because his place of rest was not being respected. Whenever I go up to the cemetery, one of the first stones that I go to is a little girl who was buried there over 100 years ago, Anamunda. You can barely see the writing. That was the child of the first pastor of this church, who died when she was about 8 or 9 years old. And for some reason, I'm always drawn to her gravestone to pay my respects, although she was gone over 100 years. There's something wired in our DNA to respect the place. Several years ago, there was a mobster murdered in New York, and his own religion, the people that he had been a part of, did not want any part of him. And even in death, would not allow his body to be buried in a sacred place. So the Moravians stepped up. And they said, even a mobster deserves a place of rest. And he's buried out in Staten Island's Moravian Cemetery. There's something wired in our DNA. So we can understand Mary when she walked to the tomb that day and she sees his body gone. And all she can think of is that it was one more desecration. They had murdered the man that she admired, that she owed her life to, and they couldn't respect his body enough to leave him there. And so in an absolute panic, she runs back to the disciples and tells them, and they run and they look. And I love these guys. They go in, they see it, and then they go back home. No inquiry, nothing. And they leave. And so Mary follows along, and she stands there outside that tomb crying her eyes out. You can imagine the horror that she felt, that even the place that was supposed to be for his rest, his eternal rest, was disturbed. And then she looks into the tomb, and she sees robed beings. But she doesn't see them. She's so wrapped up in her grief that she doesn't see the angels at the tomb. She turns around and sees Jesus, but she doesn't see him because he looks like an ordinary gardener. He's in disguise too. And then we know the rest of the story, that as soon as she heard him say her name, then her eyes were open. The message of Easter is that Jesus and the angels hover around our tombs. That Jesus sends the messengers of God when we are in the deepest distress. The message of Easter is not so much that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Now, I do hope that, so I'm trying to really be good. That when I die, I'll go to heaven, but while I'm still living on this earth, the risen Christ is with me. While I'm still here, I have the messengers of God around me. The message of Easter is not that one thing happened one day, that Jesus rose and now he's waiting for us. The message of Easter is he's here now. And that we do not have to negotiate life alone. We do not have to negotiate life in gloom and sorrow all the time. And even when the worst of that life can throw at us hits us, there are angels in our tombs. I experienced that this week. My family went through yet another tragedy. I received a call from my brother in Texas. Now, none of us live close. We're all flung around the United States, and he had another friend who died, and he discovered his body. And you can imagine the horror that he felt. And there's nobody around. He's not married. He has no family. And my dear sister decided that she would go down to be with him. And I was very relieved that I did not have to miss Easter here. And she went down to be with him. She had to make arrangements. She had to fly out. She had to cancel all her plans. But she still wanted to be back for Easter, because Easter is such an important time for her and her family, and she always celebrates it with her family and with her church family. So she was trying to find a flight to get back, and she could find none. She said, well, I guess I'll have to leave Monday. She tried to find a flight to leave Monday morning. She found none. And then we discovered the funeral will be Monday morning. She's not flying out till Monday night, so that she could be there with her brother. There are angels, even in the tomb. But there's an even more wondrous thing that happened. She said to my brother, I would like to go to church on Easter, but, you know, Easter is with family, and I'd feel really badly if I had to go to a strange church I don't know without anybody with me. I want you to go with me. And he agreed, but they had no idea where to go. The next day, he received something in the mail. It was a note that said, Mr. Gibson, I am so sorry for all the trouble you've had for the past few months. I would like to invite you to my church for Easter. And it was signed, The Mailman. Jesus disguised as the mailman. You see, there are angels near our gravestones, and Jesus sometimes is in a disguise, and we don't recognize him. But the story of the resurrection is not a story that happened 2,000 years ago. It is a story that happens every single day. The angels are near our graves, and Jesus is with us, especially when we are at our darkest hour. That's the message. When we sing that song, I serve a risen Savior, what does it say? He's in the world today. And we bear witness to that, not only on Easter Sunday, but every single day. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Tomorrow, look for him in whatever disguise he he might be wearing. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful. So grateful for your life. So grateful for you coming down and walking among us. So grateful for your resurrection. And so grateful that when Mary went to that tomb that day, instead of finding a corpse, she found life. Life now and life eternal. We are so grateful to you for that life. And we ask that if there is one who has been walking shrouded in gloom, not able to see the angels or your presence with them, that you would again speak that one's name so that they might know that you're alive. In Jesus' name, amen.